Yo, I'm laughing so hard right now because I was just talking for like a full 5 minutes and I just realized that I was on mute the whole time. Like, and I was giving you guys some good stuff. I swear I was giving you guys some good stuff, but I had no clue that I was on mute. Oh, gosh. Man, I'm getting old. Jesus. Oh, but big birthday shout out to the homie Lily. I see you in here, Chicana Boxing. Big birthday shout out to Lily. She turned 21 again. Shout out to you, Lily. Donnie should be here shortly. You know, he's just like delayed a couple minutes, but he'll be here shortly. While you guys are around, you know, you could check out the article that I just dropped on WBO President Gustavo Olivieri. We know about 4 months ago or so, Gustavo Olivieri was elected as the WBO president. So, yeah, I dropped the article, basically some stuff that WBO are starting to put in place. But we got Johnny here, so we're going to get started. All right, so let me, for Huey the producer, this is where we're going to start at. All right, here we go. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night, wherever you are in the world. This is Brunch Boxing. I'm your host, Matt, and I'm here with a very special guest, 4-0, 2 knockouts, only 24 years old, San Diego, California, just fought in his hometown, first round knockout. I'm talking about the Magic Man himself, Johnny Magic Mansoor. What's going on, Johnny?
What's up? How you doing?
Listen, I'm good, man. I'm so happy that you're here with us. I want to get right into it. You just fought on Saturday. You huge first round knockout against Marcus Bowles. First of all, congratulations. But just walk us through the game plan going into that fight.
You know, to be totally honest, I never like to have like a full on strategy. I believe, you know, I train hard. I prepare for whatever is in front of me. So for me going into the fight, you know, I told myself now this is a 6-round fight and I have time to, you know, settle down. So I'm going to just come out first round. I studied my opponent for only like a minute. I don't like to watch too much film. So I came out first round and the first like 30 seconds, you know, he was kind of like coming forward, swinging, and I'm like, okay, I see something. I started just feinting the jab downstairs, and once I caught him with a hook, his eyes were out of it, so then I just went for a kill.
Hey, listen, clearly you do not get paid by the hour because you made quick work of him. Now, you're a San Diego kid. You were fighting in front of your hometown crowd. It's got to be a
You cut up in the end. What was that?
No. I was just wondering, like, what was your emotions, the feeling being a San Diego kid fighting in front of your hometown crowd?
It was a blessing, man. Like, my people really showed out. They support me very heavily. And it was definitely a dream come true. You know, like, that energy is what I live off of. So that energy is, you know, what brought the best out of me. There's a lot of people that say there's a big crowd coming. You know, is he going to fold under pressure? But I feel like, you know, pressure makes diamonds. And that's what it's starting to do with me, with my team. Everything's starting to show. All the hard work's starting to show.
Yeah, absolutely not. Now, that's your team in the ring. I want to talk about your team outside the ring because you're signed with OTX Overtime Boxing. Why OTX of all the platforms out there?
So I had a few different offers from a few different promoters, but,
hey, Johnny,
you know.
Are you
yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. I think we're on a slight delay, but I can hear you. You keep going.
Hello?
Yeah, Johnny, I can hear you. We're just like on a slight delay. Just keep going. I'll fix the delay while you're talking.
Hello?
Johnny, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Johnny? If you guys can hear me, can you give me a thumbs up? I'm not sure if Johnny can hear me. So if you guys can hear me, just give me the thumbs up in the space so I can know that you guys can hear me.
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Hold on. Give me one second.
Yeah, I can't hear you guys. I'm going to leave and join.
Yeah, I think it was Johnny that couldn't hear me. I could hear him. I don't think he was able to hear me. So I just reconnected the space. I'm gonna send Johnny it again. Can you hear me better now?
Now I can hear you.
There we go. So what I was asking you, I was curious about your signing with OTX, because obviously you are a great talent, you are a blue chip prospect, coming from USA Boxing, a deep amateur background. And you entrusted your career to Overtime Boxing. Why did you choose OTX?
You know, the reason why I chose Overtime is I believe this relationship is bigger than boxing. Overtime has only been into boxing for about a year. And they've thrown many shows. And not only did they believe in me from the very first day, from when I fought on Top Rank, ESPN, I got that call. And I told them my dreams. I told them my visions in the sport of boxing and outside the sport of boxing. And they just believed in me, you know, ever since day one. I like their energy. And I believe, you know, they come from multiple different sports, NBA, the NFL. They have a football league, a basketball league. And I believe, like I say, like my goal is yes, to become a world champion, but to also display my message to the world of how far hard work can take you in life. And I believe over time, you know, having that younger generation, having that younger crowd, having that following that they have, I believe they can display my message in the best fashion possible to the world out there. So it was definitely a great decision. And what we're doing now outside the ring after this great show is we have very big things coming, and I'm excited for the future.
That's awesome. Now, I was able to catch your last fight. Like I said, first round knockout, great performance. But for the boxing fans out there who are not familiar with you yet, who the hell is Johnny Magic Mansoor?
You know, for all the boxing fans that are not familiar, stepping into the pro game is different. I came from the amateurs. I was on Team USA, fine at a high level. And stepping into the professionals, you know, I got to do exactly what I did in the amateurs and the professionals. And I fought hard to become number one in the nation. And now my goal is to become, you know, number one in the world. So it's a ladder that I got to climb. And it's just a stepping stone every single fight. So I understand if for whoever doesn't know me out there at the end of the day, you know, I'm going to continue to work hard. And whether it's in the dark or under the bright lights, I'm going to continue to work hard. And pretty soon the world will know, you know, how far hard work can take you. And to be the best, you got to beat the best. So whenever my team is ready, I'm willing to fight, you know, the best right in front of me.
Absolutely. Now, like you said, you have a deep amateur background, Team USA. You just turned pro last year. What would you say has been the biggest adjustment from the amateurs to the pro game?
I would say being able to settle down more. So in the amateurs, you only got 3 rounds. So it's just go, go, go. It's punching every 3 seconds. In the pros, you have more time to settle down. So I would say number one is taking my time more, taking my time a lot more. And number two is getting used to those 8-ounce gloves. You know, the reason why I be swinging like that is because I know those gloves are tiny. So it's killer be killed inside there. So it's a whole different ballgame with those smaller gloves.
Yeah, definitely. And what would you say is like the biggest, like, come to the pros moment where you was like, damn, this is really the program now. This is not the amateurs anymore.
I would say just everything in general. The weigh-ins, the face-off, how strict the commissions are. I would say everything. But I've always been a full-time fighter. So, you know, for me, like, it wasn't like, oh, I'm pro now, let's take it serious. For me, it was just, I'm pro now, just adjust to different rules, different timing and everything.
Now, let's go back to the beginning, because like we talked about, you are a long-time amateur, you just turned pro. But where did your love for the sport of boxing come from? Like what got you into it?
To be honest, when I walked into the boxing gym at 8 years old, it was like love at first sight. I just seeing something different. You know, being Middle Eastern, boxing isn't really in our blood. Boxing isn't what we do. I come from a business family. I grew up working at the liquor store, you know, every single day. And at first it was challenging to convince my parents to let me do this, but like I said, it was love at first sight, and it was a very challenging. Boxing is the hardest sport in the world, and I love to challenge myself. I love to work hard. So I believe this was it. And once I walked in at 8 years old, I said, hey, I'm going to become the best at this. And I thank God for letting me know exactly what I wanted at such a young age.
That is dope, man. Did you have like any fighters that you looked up to growing up?
To be honest, not many as a kid, because I didn't know much about the sport. I remember actually when I was super young watching Oscar De La Hoya versus Floyd Mayweather. My family was watching it, and everyone was cheering, jumping up and down. So like when I stepped into the gym, I didn't know too much about boxing. I just fell in love with the dynamic of the sport. But growing up, I always looked up to Amir Khan. And it's crazy to me because as an amateur, I literally would watch him, study him before the fight. And even in my third professional fight, I was like watching him, studying him before my watching him fight Maidana. And then I get a call after the fight, and it was Amir Khan, and he was just sending me love and support and acknowledging, you know, our similar styles.
Wow. That's actually pretty damn cool, especially for someone so young in their career to be, have someone that you looked up to reach out to you. Now, I wanted to ask you about Amir Khan. Now we know his style, great amateur, silver medalist, decorated pro, world champion. Would you say that you pattern your game most like him, or who would you say you pattern your game after?
I would say Amir Khan, man. Like I look up to, not only what he did inside the ring, but outside the ring. You know, he was a country hero. He was involved in politics here and there, but he was like always supporting the Middle East, and I plan to do the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I wanted to talk about your Middle Eastern background a little bit, because you did touch on that. Obviously, where you're from, where your family come from, boxing is not a big thing. And you said you had to talk your parents into getting you into it. Like, how did you convince them? And like, what's been the reaction from maybe back home about your boxing career so far?
To be honest, it was very challenging, but I just continued to follow, you know, doing what I love to do. Like, I remember when I was younger, I was like maybe 10, 11 years old, and I had a couple friends that were also, you know, Middle Eastern. And I was like, hey, are you guys going to continue like doing this when you get older? And they're like, no, absolutely not. I was like, why not? And they're like, my parents will never let me become a boxer. And I was like, so what? Like, just like, what if we just keep going? And then some of them fell off, and I just kept it going. And the hardest part was not convincing them to let me box. Like the hardest part was convincing them when I was losing. Like I would come back from national tournaments crying. Like my mom would pick me up from the airport, you know, with my coaches, and I'd be crying, and she'd be like, "Well, why are you crying?" I'd be like, you know, I hate losing, mom. She'd be like, "You should play basketball." So like when they would see me lose, like, they would hate it, and they'd be like, boxing is dangerous. You're getting punched. Like, this is not for you. So like, that was the challenging part, was losing and facing the adversity, like through my own family. But I feel like once I made the USA team, you know, my mom and dad really seen how hard I worked. Like, they seen it all, and they just were like, you know what? You worked hard for this, and you're actually becoming very good at it. So, you know, we support you all the way. And now, it's crazy. Like back then, like I said, I grew up working at the liquor store, and back then my dad would be like, go to work and then go to the boxing gym. And I used to work 8 to 5 and then go to the boxing gym after 5 p.m. And now it's opposite. Now if I step into work, my dad's like, what are you doing at work? I want you to focus on boxing. So I'm like, Dad, like, it's crazy how the narrative has flipped.
Absolutely. Listen, I'm sure that they're very proud of you. What about your home country? Like, have you been back to visit? Like, are they aware out there of your boxing career and what you're doing so far?
Yeah, most definitely. I plan to go to Iraq real soon. We've just been waiting on the right time because we've been so busy. But Iraq has been contacting my dad for me to go to the Olympics for them. And if I have under 14 professional fights, I could still go to the Olympics in 2028. But I told my dad, the way we're moving with overtime, I don't think that's going to happen.
Hey, well, overtime, you might have 14 fights by 2026.
I might have it by the end of this year.
Yeah, listen, let's get into that. How active do you want to be? Like, how many fights do you want to have this year?
To be honest, man, I'm in the gym 24/7. Like, I'm in the gym all day, every day. So to me, these fights, like, you know, all glory to God, these quick fights, I'm getting them out of their first round, or even when I go to distance, I'm a very defensive fighter. I'm very smart. Like, I hardly get hit. So I can fight as often as they want me to fight. I could fight every month, to be honest with you. Like, I'm willing to just stay active. You know, I'm working hard. I'm in the gym. So I'm at the point, it's like, why not?
Absolutely. Now, you just fought on Saturday. You didn't take any damage at all. You know, honestly, it didn't look like you broke a sweat. So how soon can we expect to see you back in the ring? Or is that a question I should be asking Tony?
I'm actually speaking with my team on being back in the ring in May. And we don't know exactly where yet. But I'm trying to bring it back to my hometown, but most likely I'll be back in the ring, in May.
Now, listen, I've spoken to a couple people that were at your shows, and they always say that when you fight in San Diego, that is packed. So is that the fan base that you want to focus on? Like, maybe let's build out West first and then start going to other places to try to build out there, see if they travel, or you're just going with whatever the team says?
Of course, you know, fighting in my hometown is always great. I love the energy. I love my people out here. But I'm getting a lot of, like, love and support from Michigan area, from Chicago area. You know, I know there's a lot of Chaldeans, Middle Easterns, Syrians out there. And, yeah, my goal is to just continue to represent and put on for my people. So wherever makes sense, you know, we can move and fight and travel. I'm willing to fight anywhere, you know, just to put on and represent for my people.
Now, obviously you're right now in the 135-pound division, probably one of the hottest divisions in boxing. We know who the top names are. You know, maybe you'll be ready for championship level while they're still here. Maybe not. We don't know. But who are you looking at 135? Like, damn, I know I'm going to have to see that guy before.
Well, to be honest, I grew up like watching also Gervonta Davis, and I love the energy that he brings to the arena, the energy that he brings as a fighter. And I can only imagine my people when I'm fighting someone like Gervonta Davis. And respect to him, you know, he's a great fighter. He's sharp, he's strong. But like I said, I love challenging myself. So down the line, if he's still around, you know, I'd love to go toe to toe with him.
Man, that would be epic. That would be friggin' epic. So I wanted to talk to you about the way you're moving your career so far. Obviously, you just turned pro last year. You got 4 fights under your belt. Like, how soon are you trying to move into, like, contender level? Like, are you trying to fast track it? Or are you just, like, taking it slow, trying to learn the game?
To be honest, I always ask myself, like, what's it going to take? I'm working so hard, and I feel like, how much harder can I work? So at this point, it's just all about experience, right? So I let my team handle, put in front of me whatever you guys believe I'm ready for. Like, I'm working so hard. I feel like if I fight the best right now, like, this is it. Like, I'm maxed out. I'm working hard. I'm pushing myself to the limits. So, like, I'm at the point where it's like, all right, now it's up to my team. Whoever you guys want me to fight, I'm there. Like, because confidence comes from hard work, and that's already checked off. So at this point, it's just experience. You know, so step up my opponent, step up, you know, my competition. And put that to the test. We only live once, you know, so I just want to become the best I could be. And I understand to become the best, like I said, you got to fight the best. So I'm ready to step up. You know, these opponents, I'm only 4-0, but you know, like if I got to go 8 rounds, my next fight, let's do it. You know, like I feel like I have all the experience in the world, and I feel like it's only going to showcase itself when I fight better people. So with all this talk, with all this hype behind me, with people talking about you're fighting bad opponents, well, I only have 3-4 professional fights. Look at the superstars in today's day in boxing. Who did they fight in their third or fourth professional fight? Nobody's. But if I got to step it up because I have a big crowd already, let's step it up.
You definitely have a big crowd already, man. Now, I wanted to ask you about more of the game plan. Like, so right now you're fighting, you were fighting 4 and 6 rounders or whatever stuff, or 4 rounders. You're going to move to 6 and then 8 and then eventually 10. Who are maybe like the younger guys that's in your division? Like maybe like Carmel Moten, someone like that you might want to face just to show that you're at the level that you believe and your people believe that you're at?
Anybody, to be honest, anybody that you guys like, anybody that your favorite fighter, I work hard and I believe that my skills are different. So as far as people, young and upcoming prospects, anybody, it just got to make sense. But I believe we're on the right track. And let's step up the competition. Put in front of me the people that they fought. In my first fight, I fought the guy that, you know, Emiliano Vargas fought. My second fight, Amado Vargas fought. My second fight, I fought the guy that Emiliano Vargas fought. Stop him in the first round. You know, my third fight, I fought the guy that my boy Charlie fought. So, like, I'm fighting guys that Abdullah Mason fight. So I'm fighting guys that all these guys, all these younger prospects fought. You know, so I feel like the promotions are doing this on purpose. They're doing this to test me. My last opponent, he fought a Golden Boy fighter who was 3-0, 2 KOs, and he didn't stop him. And he has a similar style to me. My coaches said this is the test on your dominance, on your aggression, on your power inside the ring. This is a test on if you know how to finish somebody, because this guy just fought a Golden Boy fighter who's 3-0 with 2 KOs, and he didn't stop him within 4 rounds. So this is the test, and I feel like I blew him out the waters. Like, this competition was nothing for me. And people are talking about you're fighting nobody, step it up. All right, well, I only have 4 fights, but if you guys want to step it up, I'm ready.
Exactly. Now, you're also a bit of a showman. You know, you have a pretty big following on Instagram and stuff like that. You always attract a big crowd. Like, are you cognizant of, like, the entertainment aspect of the sport of boxing?
Oh, absolutely. I believe entertainment is everything. People come to watch 40 Entertainment. You know, most all of my fans, I'm bringing new fans to the sport of boxing. All of my fans are not really boxing fans. They're all people that they're all people that I'm the first boxing fight they've ever watched. And I think that's really cool to me, like, because their reactions, they come to me and they're like, man, this is so sick. Like, I love boxing. I want to come to every single one of your fights. So it's cool that I'm bringing a new fan base to the sport of boxing. And to be honest, my fan base, like my crowd is, it's like Mexicans took over boxing at one point, you know, and I believe like, but Middle Easterns, they love boxing by the reactions and by the crowd and by the way they're chanting. So I feel like, you know, if I keep this going, it's like a fire that's just growing rapidly and they support very heavily. So I feel like if I keep this going, we could take over boxing. Imagine like the Middle Eastern younger generation, like when I went to Qatar, when I went to Dubai, it's like I walked into a city that has just discovered boxing. Like there's 3-4 boxing gyms and I was doing speeches at those gyms and it was like new to them. Like they just had discovered the sport. Imagine in like a year down the line, or imagine if I were able to build some boxing gyms in the Middle East or continue just growing it out here. Like, and all these younger kids, like I feel like a lot of my cousins, like my aunts and uncles are like, oh, my younger son wants to start boxing now. I think it's amazing to me. So it's something that we're doing differently, and with Overtime on my side, with Overtime, you know, on my back and promoting me the right way, we're bringing a whole new fan base to the sport.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because, yeah, your family is from Iraq, but really, you kind of represent Middle Eastern boxing as a whole, like the whole entire region. Like, what kind of like responsibility is that for you?
To be honest, like I believe that it's something that I'll never take for granted, and it's something that I'll continue to lead by great example on. Like, I feel like God has put me in this position, you know, to inspire the younger generation to work hard and to just have faith, you know, and just have more hope into becoming something one day. Like, my own brother, you know, was one of the best soccer players I've ever seen. But, you know, him growing up in that Middle Eastern lifestyle, he kind of just faded on into business and took over the family businesses. So, like, for us Middle Easterners, like, if we aspire to be something in sports as an athlete, like, yes, we're looked at differently in the beginning. We're questioned why. But in the end, you know, like, if you just believe in yourself, you work hard and you follow your dreams, you know, you start winning, everyone's going to ask you how, not why.
No doubt. Now, I wanted to talk to you about, like, your entrance, right? Because your nickname is Magic. So every time I hear your nickname, I keep thinking of, like, a lot of walkouts or something. But, like, I see that you like to listen to Future. Why Future? I mean, I guess it's the new generation, but Future is your favorite artist?
Yeah, I love listening to Future, Drake and Future. Those are, like, my two. But to be honest, like, backstage, I'm always listening to Bad Bunny. And then right before I walk out, I tell my coach to put on 50 Cent.
So what's your walkout song?
My walkout song? I like Kanye West when I'm walking out. I love the adrenaline he brings to it, like, to music. Like, I love, like, All the Lights is my walkout song, my main walkout song.
Okay, listen, I might be showing my age here a little bit, but you never thought about walking out to that song by Love and Spoonful? Do you believe in magic? Have you heard that song before?
My coach always sings that to me. My coach always puts it on in the gym.
Hey, listen, that's my song too, man. Or they got another song that's like, oh, 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 it's magic. You got a lot of songs you can walk out to, man.
That's a funny song, man. I'm going to actually think about that one. I'm going to play it in my car right after this interview. And I'm going to actually think about the oh, oh, it's magic one.
Yeah, man. But just don't walk out to Magic Stick. Nobody wants to hear Magic Stick before a boxing match. Listen, there's a lot of things you can use to incorporate the nickname. Where'd you get the nickname from, Magic, anyway?
So I was actually moving around with this one girl getting her ready for the Olympic trials, and she was like to me, man, every time I try to hit you, you disappear. It's like you hit and you disappear. You're like the master of deception. She's like, I'm going to start calling you Magic. And then honestly, I was called Slow-Mo. I was called Flacco, and I was called Magic. So out of skinny or slow, I decided to go with Magic.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of been fitting on to me in the right way.
Now, this might be mad marketing on my part, which is probably why I'm not a PR person. But when you knock somebody out, like in your post-fight interview, your tagline should be abracadabra, bitches, or something like that.
You know what's funny? My friends were yelling that in the crowd.
Okay. So I'm not so crazy. But I wanted to talk to you about not really boxing, just a couple of things. Because, you know, I do my research on people, and I'm not going to hold it against you, but I hear that you're a Laker fan. Okay, I'm not going to hold it against you because, you know, I'm a Knicks fan. I'm from New York, so, you know, I'm not a fan of the Lakers. But what'd you think about the whole Luka Doncic trade and all that stuff?
Man, Luka and LeBron, that's crazy. You know, that's like, that's like, I don't know, it's like almost scripted at this point. But I believe like it was a great, you know, trade. And if Lakers win the ship this year, that'd be crazy.
I don't think you have to worry about that, but yeah. So besides Future and Drake, who are your favorite musical artists? And is it like strictly rap music, or do you listen to other genres of music?
Well, I like reggaeton. So like I said earlier, Bad Bunny, Kanye West, and I like Lil Baby, Lil Uzi. A lot of rap. I listen to a lot of rap, to be honest. Either rap or reggaeton. But I also do like house music. I like listening to John Summit.
Listen, I have no clue who that is. no clue at all.
You got to look into it, man.
I definitely got to get into it. But hey, listen, if you big in Chicago, man, house music is real big in Chicago, man. That's actually pretty cool that you listen to house music. All right, so who are your favorite teams besides the Lakers? You're strictly L.A. or you don't root for none of the San Diego teams like the Padres, the former Clippers? So I still don't know how you became a Laker fan.
To be honest, I do like the Padres as far as baseball, but I don't watch too much baseball. I do like the Chargers because they were from San Diego for football. But the Chargers be bothering me because they always win the first half and they get destroyed in the second half. And this has been going on since they were the San Diego Chargers. It's been going on for a long time. So I don't know. I don't know if I like the Chargers anymore, man. But football, I don't watch too much football as I used to ever since the San Diego Chargers moved on to LA. But yeah, I would say Chargers, Lakers for basketball, Padres for baseball.
Listen, don't forget soccer. I saw you with San Diego FC, man. You can't forget to mention them too. Man.
Oh no, absolutely. I'm excited. I actually don't watch soccer, but I'm excited. This Saturday, I got invited to the MLS game. We're gonna be on the field, and actually, they pitched me a crazy idea that I can't say yet. But we might be fighting in front of 35,000 people real soon.
Hey, that would be sick, man. That would definitely be sick. Now, I was on the USA boxing website, and they said that your favorite food is chicken Alfredo. Like, is this like the meal that your girlfriend makes for you every Valentine's Day? I always feel like whenever a woman cooks, it's always chicken Alfredo. So what's up with the chicken Alfredo, man?
I like Italian food. I love Italian food. And just to be clear, I don't have a girlfriend. I'm married to the game right now.
all right, okay. That's funny, man. Who would you say is your top five boxers right now?
I'm gonna say Canelo, Crawford. I can't say Tank after that performance. Canelo.
Hey, come on, man! You gonna turn on Tank that quick?
No, but. That performance, I don't know, had me questioning him, but I'm gonna say Crawford, Canelo, Inoue, as three. Who else? I'm gonna say, and these are active boxers today, right?
Yeah, active boxers.
I'm gonna have to say, I really like Dimitri Bivol. So I'm going to say Bivol and Usyk.
Hey, listen, that's a very, very solid five. Hey, do you got like a couple minutes to take questions from the fans? I see some fans requesting to speak.
Yeah, of course.
Cool. So first up, we got my guy, ATH. ATH, you're on with Johnny Magic Mansoor. What's going on, ATH?
Hey, what's up? My question is that what route are you going to take in your career, if you want to get a championship? I know you mentioned the Tank route, but I'm like, do you feel like you're going to create a boxing legacy, or at the end of the day you want to get paid? What is your goal in your boxing career?
Definitely, follow on to creating my own legacy. Not only creating a name for myself, not only making money, I come from that, but to just become a champion, to become a world champion. I did it in the amateurs. I became the best in the amateurs, and I feel like that's my only focus in the pros. It's just to become the best I could be.
See, that's dope. So the next time people can see you in the ring, for those who are watching you for the first time, what can they expect to see from Johnny Mansoor?
Another magic show, baby.
I like that magic show.
Just come and don't blink this time. Don't blink. Don't blink. My people went to the bathroom and came back and it was over. Don't go to the bathroom either.
Yo, I'm telling you, man, there's so many things you can do with this nickname, man. It is such a great nickname, man.
Abracadabra.
Yeah, word. Where can the people find you at to support you on social media and follow your journey in boxing?
Follow me on Instagram at Johnny Mansoor. Follow me on TikTok. Follow me on Twitter. I got a whole social media team right now really pushing heavy. So to watch all my videos, like to really through social media, I'm just trying to like help people follow my journey. Like imagine back in the day, like someone like Michael Jordan was posting and vlogging his whole journey and he became the best basketball player in the world. So like, I feel like there so many other people would have been inspired, and for us to be blessed with social media in today's day, if I could inspire, you know, a lot of people that come behind me in the sport, and just not only in the sport, outside the sport, follow me on social media, you know, DM me, ask me questions. I'm the type of guy to respond and just show love and just, you know, be a good role model.
Absolutely. And listen, when you become a big star, don't forget about the little people like us who was in on the ground floor.
No man. Such thing as little people, man. We all the same.
I love it, man. But listen, I appreciate you for taking the time out to join us, man. Congratulations on your most recent victory. Congratulations on being with Overtime Boxing, man. Listen, I believe in Overtime Boxing. So I'm loving what you guys are doing over there. I'm loving what you're doing so far in your career, and I wish you nothing but success in your future.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Yes, yes, yes. Johnny Mansoor, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, guys.
Yeah, that was Johnny Mansoor. If you haven't seen his last fight, it was on DAZN. You can also catch that fight and basically all of OTX's fights on Victory Plus. They have like a lot of different platforms that you can go and see the talent that they are cultivating, because they are doing big things over there at Overtime. So make sure you guys go out there, go support them. Got to give a shout out to Tony Palmieri from Overtime for putting this together. He's been nothing but a great help to me, bringing these OTX fighters to the Brunch Boxing platform. You know, I think that is great for the fighters, but it's also great for Brunch Boxing, you know, to be able to interview world champions.
Yo, I got one question. For Matt. This is for Matt. So, like, I just spoke with a boxer recently, a Nigerian boxer, Abiyabuchi Akemifula. I think he was, like, a former heavyweight world champion. And
You're talking about
Yes. Abiyabuchi? So I was wondering if maybe you can get on your platform.
we're gonna have to talk about that in the
hit me in the DMs. Cool.
Hit me in the DM.
respect.
But this has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. I do have a special interview coming up soon for you guys. We're going to have a Boxing Hall of Famer, former multi-weight champion, Michael Carbajal. He's going to be joining us pretty soon on Brunch Boxing. So you guys make sure you check that out. We might have a nice announcement dealing with him also. So you guys make sure you check out that. Got to give a special shout out to our super producer, Huey. He's been working hard. We got a lot of content up there. If you guys did not catch our interview with WBC Women's Featherweight Champion Tiara Brown, it is on all streaming platforms now. Go listen to the interview. I'll be honest with you. That interview was raw and uncut, unfiltered. Tiara Brown, like she does in the boxing ring, she did not pull any punches. And I think she was very open and honest about not only her journey to the world title, but all the things that she had to deal with in and out of the boxing ring, and basically what guided her both physically and spiritually to her biggest moment as a professional, becoming WBC Women's Featherweight Champion. So you guys make sure you go check out that. Also, we have our retrospective on the late, great George Foreman. His nephew, Jonathan Foreman, paid a toll boxing. He was able to join us to share some memories on his late uncle. We also had Vic, a.k.a. J-Ro, and we had Cliff Roll from the Corner Stool to give a career retrospective on the late, great, big George Foreman. So you guys, make sure you go check out that. Like I said, we got a lot of articles on the website. Just please support the Brunch Boxing platform. We are the little independent that could, you know. We're a mom and pop shop. We are literally Pop the Trunk Productions. You know, we do this for the love of the sport, but we also do need your support. So please, if you haven't already, or if you want to again, you know, hit me up. Go get yourself some Brunch Boxing gear. Go get a Brunch Boxing t-shirt, something like that. Or you could just hit the Cash App directly. You know, my Cash App is always in my profile. And if you don't have Cash App, we got PayPal too. But support the platform, support Brunch Boxing, okay? But this has been another edition of Brunch Boxing. He is our COO, the Mexican Al Heyman Mike. He is our host, Ezra Boxing. I am Matt. We are Brunch Boxing, and we are out. Shout out Huey, the producer.